week before Pesach. They were even considering not having one this week for good reason. So that alone either gets a yeshar koach or a I'm not sure. obviously the topic will be Haggadah related, and the title, how we don't tell the story. The topic is sure simple. The people ask me what's my favorite Haggadah. So the answer always is, I always say the Horowitz Margaritan one. Remember that one? Why? Because there's no commentators. Meaning, sometimes we spend so much time studying about the Haggadah, we never look at the Haggadah itself. The same thing that happens to Chumash. What do we do to Chumash? We spend so much time reading every pasuk and learning it, we never see the bigger picture. So we're going to do the same thing to the Haggadah that we do to Chumash, and we're going to try and see the forest through the trees. Just before we start, we'll play a little game. If someone asked you, what's the pasuk that we learn our obligation to... it's okay. You turn on?
No.
Oh, rather. Let me just turn it. Yeah, I'll hold it. Okay. I feel like a finger. It's on? Okay. Maybe I thought without it. I just get it. Sorry. If you ask anybody, what's the pasuk that we learn our obligation from?
Can I record that?
Will you record? Okay. We're going to spend the first 2-3 minutes translating that, because everyone quotes it, but rarely does anyone ever pay attention to it. Okay. Let's try to translate it. Tell your child on that day, the day probably you came out of Egypt, saying, for the sake of this, God did for me something, I'm not sure what, when I came out of Egypt. Now, how can we figure out what the word Zeh means in that pasuk? Yeah, exactly. So that's the first source. So the first source we have with the background in Parshat Bo, and it's in Perek Yud Gimel. That's one thing we have to make sure we remember. Perek Yud Gimel in Sefer Shmos is after Perek Yud Bet, which means it's after Am Yisrael left Egypt. And it's after the story that we were rushed out and we had to take the dough with us and we were in a rush, and because of that rush we didn't have time to bake it. And we only baked it the next morning in Sukkot. That story was told already. And now we've come out of Egypt. It's the next day. And what's Moshe tell the people? Vayomer Moshe l'am, Zechor et hayom hazeh asher yatzatem mimitzrayim bibeit avadim, ki b'chotek yad hotzi Hashem etchem mizeh, v'lo yechal chametz. Remember this day you left Egypt, and don't eat chametz. Now, does that sound like two separate commands, or one? Understand my question? Meaning, is it two things? You have to remember the day you left Egypt, and you also can't eat chametz. That sounds like two. How could it be one? Yeah? Yeah, no. How do you remember coming out of Egypt? By not eating chametz. We'll see which makes more sense in a minute. The question, is the way we remember our exodus from Egypt by not eating chametz because of what happened? Or is it two separate things? Then, Moshe, you're leaving now in the spring. Therefore, next year you come to the land of Israel. Okay? And you do this avodah. We're not sure what that means yet, in this month. Pasuk Vav. What's the avodah you do? Shivat yamim tocha matzot, v'yom ha-shvichag l'Hashem, 7 days eat matzah, matzot yachelot shivat yamim. Okay? Matzah should be eaten for 7 days, and you can't see any chametz, you can't see any leaven, in all your borders. Then, Pasuk Ches. V'gadze levincha b'yom ahu lemor. What day is that now? See how it goes back to Pasuk Gimel? Zechor ha-yom hazeh, that you left Egypt. And therefore, tell your child on that day, on the day you left Egypt, is it the day or the night? You'll talk about that in Haggadah. That's Yochel Mirosh Chodesh. That's the whole topic there. But what do you tell your children? What's they referring to now, based on the context? We said 7 days eat matzah, and no chametz for 7 days. Matzah should be eaten for 7 days, and can't see any chametz. And then what do you tell your children? On the day that you're eating matzah and not eating chametz, for the sake of this what? Of this matzah, God did for me probably these miracles when he came out of Egypt. Got that? Now, if you've never heard this pasuk before and you read it the first time, what does it seem like it's explaining? What do we tell our children? And that's the question. Is this pasuk telling us to explain to our children why we're eating matzah or why God took us out of Egypt? You understand the two possibilities? Pretend you never read the Haggadah before, and you just read this pasuk. What seems to be the most logical explanation? Is it, are we explaining why we're eating matzah, Or why God took us out of Egypt. We'll take a quick little vote. Okay? Who says it's an explanation? We're supposed to, based on this pasuk alone, this tells us, explain to our children why we're eating matzah. Who says that? Okay. And who says the pasuk is telling you, we explain to our children why God took us out of Egypt?
Okay.
It's always 50-50. Now, either that shows you that Chumash is poorly written, because if you gave this in a composition, you'd get it back all in red, if you were back in college. Right? Or, this is an example of a beautiful example in Chumash again, what we call intentional ambiguity, where Chumash writes a pasuk which can easily be understood both ways. We'll see both understandings in the commentators. Right? And it's not a question of one's right and one's wrong. I say one's right and one's even better. Now, what do we say in our Haggadah? What do we say in our Seder all the time? When we ask, why are we eating matzah, what do we explain? When matzah to our Shuma, we were rushed out. We explain to our children every year at the Seder, the reason why we're eating matzah is to remember how we were rushed out, and that's how we remember the Exodus. Simple? And therefore, how do they explain the pasuk? That I'm explaining to my children, it's because of this matzah, I'm eating this matzah because God took me out of Egypt. Right? That's why you said that. But if I read the pasuk, it seems to be saying the opposite. Tell your children the reason why God took me out of Egypt was so that I would eat matzah. Which sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Why does that sound ridiculous? First of all, we had the whole story beforehand. Right? And why would God take us out of Egypt to eat matzah? Take us out of Egypt to give us the land of Israel, take us out of Egypt to give us the Torah. But to take us out of Egypt to eat matzah seems a little circular. Right? So, two things. First of all, look in the Rambam. We'll skip the Mishnah part. We'll get to later. When the Rambam learns his commandment to tell the story, guess where he begins? He doesn't begin with Bigat Shalavimcha. Guess what he learns it from? He says, Mitzvah Tasei Shal Torah L'Saper B'Nisim B'Niflot Shanasel Abotin B'Mitzvah B'Lo Chamishasa B'Nisan Shenemar. He doesn't begin with Pasuk Het. He begins with Pasuk Gimel, which makes so much sense. Because what's the Pasuk say? Zechor Et Hayom Hazeh Asher Yitzhak. Remember the day you left Egypt. That's a clear-cut, obvious pasuk that tells you you have to remember the story. Now, how do we know it's the night and not during the day, etc.? That he learns from the Gadat Tel Avimcha. And why is that a source pasuk? Just like Zechor Yom HaShabbat, Zechor Asher Sadach HaAmalek. That's classic style of Chumash to make a mitzvah. That's the Rambam. Let's go back now to Tar Machloket, though. Okay. Look in Rashi on the bottom of the first page, or which is page 2, but it's the first page of Makorot. Look at Rashi. And Bavur Zeh, what's he say? Bavur Zeh, Bavur Shekayim Mitzvotav Kum Pesach Matzah V'Moroh Halalu. How did he vote, Rashi? Are we explaining why we're eating matzah or why God took us out of Egypt? Rashi's saying, why did God take us out of Egypt? Not just to eat matzah, but to eat, to keep all the mitzvot. Like what? Like Pesach Matzah Moroh. You follow? Rashi understands it, like half of you did. Guess who's going to disagree with him? What? To our amazement, Ebenezer is not going to disagree. But his grandson's going to disagree. Rashbam and Rambam. Someone's going to disagree. Rashbam is going to disagree. And they'll explain like you did. Like the other half of you did. But before that, Rashi is very consistent. Because Rashi makes another comment on the pasuk that cost us so much money. Remember that pasuk why we eat Shmur Matzah? Yeah. Yeah, well, what's it say there? Ushmatem? Shmatem is a matzot. It's in Parshat HaChodesh. It's in Perek Yudet Pasuk Yudzayin. Rashi there quotes Rabbi Yoshia, right? And says, Al tikra matzot ela mitzvot. Rashi is consistent. That what you see, matz is simply a symbol of mitzvot in general. Right? Rashi understands the whole reason God took us out of Egypt was to keep mitzvot. Which doesn't seem like shot in the story, but what we're going to show you, shot in the stories like Rashbam, and like the first opinion you all said, like we say to Seder, shot in Parshat Bo is like Rashbam, that we tell our children, we're eating matzah to remember I got this out of Egypt. Shot in Chumash is like Rashi. Understand? But that'll be what the show will be about, and we'll see that in Haggadah. Meaning, if I just look at the story in Sefer Shmot, it definitely looks like I'm eating matzah to remember how God took me out of Egypt. When I look at the wider picture of Chumash and taking into consideration Sefer Bereshit, we're going to see that Rashi is even better. Meaning, because Rashi is pointing out to a theme in Chumash, And Rashi brings that up, the first Rashi in Chumash. Remember how he begins? Where should Chumash begin? With Parshat HaChodesh. Why? The first mitzvot, which is the mitzvah of eating matzah and korban pesach. Pesach, matzah, maror, the first. It's, to Rashi, they're symbolic of the entire Torah. Where that's coming from, we'll see as the shir goes on. Now, flip over the page, and we'll see his grandson, the Rashbam. But now the Rashbam's title got knocked off. Oh, here he is. Okay, the Rashbam's title was on the bottom of 2. That's Rashbam. Okay. What's Rashbam say? Bavur zeh. Bavur zeh. Asa Hashem lanu li nisim b'mitzrayim. Ani obeid avodah zot. Why am I doing this avodah b'idim matzah? Because God did so many miracles. Pretty much, how am I expressing my gratitude to God for doing these miracles? Right? By eating matzah. So remember how he took me out. Eben Ezra is the most fun. Eben Ezra, now take a look. Bavur zeh. First he quotes Rabbi Marina, quotes him a lot. Hirush Bavur zeh means what? Haya roi lo tafuch. Meaning, Rabbi Marina says that how should you read the pasuk? Not Bavur zeh asa Hashem li. How should you read the pasuk? Zeh ba'avur. Simply switch zeh and avur around. In order for the pasuk to make sense, like the first half is devoted, simply switch the word zeh and avur around and say, not bavur zeh, but zeh, this matzah is bavur, sasa Hashem li b'teitim Mitzrayim. And then the pasuk makes perfect sense, fits into the story. And then he brings, Rav Meir brought a lot of proofs that Chumash says that often. What's Eben Ezra say? Okay. Again, he says, hafuk, zeh bavur sasa Hashem li. Okay. Vevi rabim kibohol ledato. Ulefi dati, that's Eben Ezra, ein echad mehem nachon. Eben Ezra doesn't like him. Doesn't like all the proofs he brings. He slugs them all up. Okay, and look how he attacks them. Okay, he says, "Ki ech napoch divrei Elohim chayim." The words of the Torah are divrei Elohim chayim, the living words of God. If Chumash says zeh bavur zeh, don't switch around. Say zeh bavur. And then he continues. He doesn't give up. V'tama pasuk hefech machshavto. The meaning of the pasuk is the exact opposite of what he's explaining. Why? Ki einanu ochlim matzot bavur zeh. We're not eating matzah because God took us out of Egypt. Rak pirush bavur zeh. Bavur zot avodah sheyachilat matzah v'lo echav chametz shutchilat hamitzvot shetzivah lanu Hashem atzav lanu Hashem otot ad teotzenu mimitzrayim. Just like Rashi. Why did God take us out of Egypt? In order that we would keep his mitzvot like matzah and chametz. And then he says, he clinches it. What's he say? Batam lo teotzenu mimitzrayim rak l'ovdo. Why did God take us out of Egypt? For one reason. To serve him. Meaning, it's not that we got stuck in Egypt and God took us out. God put us into Egypt, took us out of Egypt. For what reason? So that we would serve him. Okay? And that's going to be the theme, according to Rashi and Eben Ezra, that's what Haggadah is going to be about. And I'm going to give two understandings here, which it's not one or the other, it's one in addition to the other. The first explanation, the waiting matzah to remember how God took us out, reflects a certain understanding, a basic one, that we have to be thankful to God because he took us out of Egypt. We got ourselves in a mess. Right? God came and saved us with miracles. We have to be thankful. In English, it's called Hakara Satov. Simple. A recognition of gratitude. Right? And how do we show God our thanks for him taking us out of Egypt? We simply, what do? We eat matzah, and by eating matzah, we remember how God took us out. And it's expression of our gratitude, to remember how God did it, and that leads to our expression of gratitude. When Rashi says, the other way around, we explain to our children that God took us out of Egypt in order to eat matzah, then we're not eating matzah to remember how God saved us. What are we doing? We're eating matzah to remember why God chose us. Which, that's no longer recognition of, that's no longer expression of gratitude, that's what we call recognition of destiny. And the rest of the series, I want to show that in Haggadah. Now, it's not that one's right and one's wrong. For sure, there's a need to express gratitude. That's Shabbat, that's Hallel. There's no doubt. That's a basic need. To thank God for saving you. But the question is, when we tell the story, or we're only telling the story simply to express our gratitude, okay? Or in addition to that, we're also telling the story, not of what happened, but why it happened, to understand why God did that for us, and hence recognition of that. What I want to show you, in Haggadah now, that's what Haggadah is going to be all about. So now we're going to switch source sheet, and we're going to switch to the one-page Haggadah sheet. Everyone got this one? Okay. We're not going to do the whole thing because we don't have too much time. We're going to go through Magid, and that's why the numbers, the sections are numbered. You can say room at your table if you use one of these. And when we go through, we're going to try and figure out how we fulfill God's commandments. Meaning, the Torah says we have to remember the day we left Egypt. If you need out, yeah, there's pages in the back. This kind. Remember, there's a commandment to tell the story. Now, we're going to take a break for a second and hit a reset button. Okay? Pretend for a minute that you were never at a Seder, never saw the Haggadah. Okay? And pretend that you did read Chumash. Okay? So, and you were given the job to tell the story. You were told, tell the story of the Exodus. Okay? Forget everything you learned before, etc. You read Chumash. And you had to begin. Where would you begin the story, and where would you end the story? Give me logical places to begin from.
Yeah? Yeah? Where?
You can start with Avad Yemei Yinu. No, tell the story of the Exodus. It begins, we were enslaved by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was mean to us, and we cried out to God, and he saved us. That would be very logical. Where else could we start from? From where? From Moshe's birth. Yeah? Yosef, probably the best. Yosef and his brothers. Or Yaakov going down to Egypt with the 70. Nefesh going down to Egypt. Yaakov and his brothers, Yaakov's dream. You want to go back a little bit, you can go back to Avraham Avinu, right? You can go back to Terah. You can go back to Noah. Go back to the Big Ten. You can go back. If you have a lot of time, you can go back as far as you want. The question is, where should you go back from? Yeah, where do you have to begin? The answer for sure will be Brit Ben Abtarim. So that's what the show will be about. The story has to begin with Brit Ben Abtarim, and that's what we're going to do with the Seder. And we're going to do that. But before that, there's a machloket in that. Take a look back on page 1, on page 2, which is the first page of Makorot, which says 2 on the bottom. We're going to see how our Haggadah follows the Mishnah. The Mishnah sets the framework for the Haggadah. We sort of overdo it, but the Mishnah is very simple. According to the Mishnah, okay, remember we make Kiddush, and then we pour the second cup, and we start to tell the story. You pour the second cup, and then we get the children to ask. Why is it important for children to ask? We got to tell the Bincha. You have to get them involved. Okay? Then we say, Lefi dato shel ben aviv lamdo. How do we tell the story? Based on the level of our children. We have to make the story fitting to the level of the audience, which makes a lot of sense. Then we have a format. What's the format for the story? Matchil b'gnuv u'mesayim b'shevach. We begin with something derogatory. We're experts at that. But we begin with something with a derogatory statement, and we end with praise. And then we do what's called Doresh from Arami Avid Aviv. We'll talk about that later on. Until he finishes the whole parsha. Whatever that means, we'll see. That's all the Mishnah says. The rest is history. But the Mishnah simply gives a framework. What do? We get the kids' attention. We have to tell the story based on their level. We always begin the story with something derogatory. We end it with praise. And the formula that we use to tell the story is going to be what's called Arami Avid Aviv. Why we'll see soon. Why we use that. Now, you know the machloket, Rav and Shmuel, of what's the best derogatory way to begin? Remember? Rav and Shmuel have a machloket. What's more derogatory? What's my opinion? We were once slaves. The other opinion is we were once idol worshippers. Now, that could be an argument over where the story begins. If it's we were once slaves, where's the story begin? With Avadim Ayinu. Or it could be an argument, or the story begins with Terah. Remember? Our forefathers once idol worshippers, and they got shows up from Avinu. Or it could be an argument over what's more derogatory. Meaning, if you want to say something bad about somebody, what's worse? Telling them, oh, you once didn't have a service, you once a janitor, or you once you weren't broke. What's more derogatory when you talk about somebody? What type of statement? Yeah. What? Which one? I can't hear. Oh. Exactly, it depends on your setting. Now, how do we pass in the Nahrava? Do we say Avadim Ayinu or do we say Mitchila? We do both. Which means we do neither. You understand? As far as the story goes, neither of them are going to start the story. We're going to quote both of them for totally different reasons. It's not we do both. Because if we did both, then we have Haggadah is out of order. Because first we do Avadim Ayinu, and then we do Mitchila. that's the story, then we're out of order. It's really like Chumash. But yeah, now, how do we tell the story? We don't tell the story until we see Aramei Aved Aviv. What we do until we tell the story, that's what we're going to talk about now. Now we're going to try to understand what's happening in Magi until we get to the story. Because where's the story going to begin? The story's going to begin when we start to drink to it. Remember when we hold up our cups and we... What part is that? Remember Vehi Shamda? Everyone remembers Vehi Shamda. Who's Vehi? Yeah. Some people say God and then they're in big trouble. Yeah. Vehi has to be, if you look at paragraph 10, that's Vehi Shamda Labotenu. It's referring back to paragraph 9. And who's that referring to? Right. The Haftacha, God's promise of Ritvein Aftarim. And what did God promise Abraham Avinu Ritvein Aftarim? That I'm going to take you out of Egypt. And what did God promise our forefathers? Right. He promised Abraham Avinu a get out of jail card. He said, you're going to be enslaved, I'm going to save you, take you out, give you great wealth, and bring you to the land of Israel. What are we taking God for? He kept his promise. The problem is, if you read the fine print, we have what I like to call the chutzpah d'katanz question. Because if someone's paying attention to what we said there, what could he ask? Yeah, we gather at the Seder, what do we tell our children? Let's thank God, why? He kept his promise. What was his promise? He promised Avraham Avinu, I'm going to take you down to Egypt, I'm going to save your children, I'm going to afflict them hundreds of years, and afterwards, then I'll save them and give them great wealth. Okay. Yeah. Even teenagers, like people have been teenagers for 50, 60, 70 years, have the same question. Why thank God for what? Don't put me in, don't take me out. But you see how it answers our question? Because the story has to be going to be Ben of Karim, because that's God forecasted that. It wasn't just making a prediction. That was part of Avraham Avinu being chosen. And when Avraham Avinu was chosen, instead of Bereshit, God already told him, at least the framework of Ben Aftarim. Which means God wanted us to go down to slavery in order to take us out, in order to save us, in order to serve us. In that sense, going down to Egypt and coming out is a type of training. It's called basic training, they call it stash, they call that in medical school, what's stash called? Stash? Or just in Hebrew? Right? Residence. Yes. Stash sounds better. That's not a Hebrew word. It's French, but what language is stash? They don't say that in medical school here? Right. Stash is residency, when you work like crazy for 2 years. Okay, sleep, you work real hard, but you do that to train to become a good doctor. It's part of the training process. In the same sense, in order to learn how to be a servant, serving God, first they had to be servants, saves the power, and then God took us out so we could serve Him. We were slaves, now we're servants. Understand? And that's exactly what 8, 9, and 10 are going to be about. We're going to get to them soon. But if that's true, then that's exactly the concept of recognition of destiny. Meaning, why do I start the story with Brit Ben Aftarim? Because I have to understand why God put me in. I'm not just thanking Him for taking me out. I'm thanking Him for putting me in to take me out. I'm thanking Him, we'll see, for choosing us, for giving us that job, right, to be His people. And that's much more, that can't be expression of gratitude in a teenager's sense. It only makes sense if it's recognition of destiny. And I'm going to show you how God builds up to that. And now we're going to go backwards a little bit, but what we're going to show you is how 8, 9, and 10, those paragraphs, are going to be the key to leading into the story. But beforehand, we have to figure out what's in the first column, what's 1 through 7 about. So they're real simple. Okay? Halach Ma'anya, we've all heard of before. What's that sound like? Is that a story? Is that the story? Is that beginning the story? What's it sound like? Yeah? It explains the matzah. What else is it though? It's an invitation? Right. Who are we inviting in Halach Ma'anya? Anyone who's hungry? Did you ever notice it's a little bit late to invite people? They miss Kiddush already, right? At a hotel, it's like when you talk to your portrait. Some people say that's why you say it in Aramaic so no one will understand. Okay. But why would we invite now? We should invite in the beginning. I guess you never heard about that. It's real simple though. Okay. Who's talking to who in the Halach Ma'anya? The leader of the Seder is talking to the people. He just spoke to Mata in Yachad, didn't he? In fact, whether this is Yachad or Magid, it's a segue in between. We just break the Mata, and what do we explain? Because we're supposed to tell the story over Mata. We break the Mata and say, this Mata we just broke, right, is the bread that was, that our forefathers ate when in Egypt. Our forefathers ate this bread in Egypt when? When they were slaves? Listen to the rest. What do we say next? We'll play Clue. They said that game Clue? Okay. Three clues. Okay. Of who's speaking to who now? Anyone who needs, come and eat. Anyone who needs, come and bring Korban Pesach. Anyone who wants to join in this meal in Korban Pesach, come and join in. We're inviting people to join a group to bring Korban Pesach. I mean, it's a time period when we're offering Korban Pesach. Making Pesach doesn't mean cleaning the house. Yeah. Making Pesach means Korban Pesach. Okay. Two. Hashtahacha. This year here, we don't know where here is yet, but we know where isn't it? It's not in Israel. I mean, we're bringing Korban Pesach. We're not in the land of Israel, but hope to be there next year. Hashta Avde, Vashanaba. Right now we're slaves, hoping to be free. When in Jewish history are we offering Korban Pesach, not in the land of Israel, and in slavery? One time and only one time. When was that? The very first Korban Pesach, wasn't it? Did we eat matzah with that Korban Pesach? Sure we did. We met it last week, Parshat HaChodesh. And that matzah had nothing to do with being in a rush. We had 2 weeks to prepare. That's a whole share and 2 reasons for matzah. You can read it. But what are we saying? The matzah that we're eating now is the same matzah that who ate? Not that our forefathers ate when they were slaves. When our forefathers ate at the very first Seder. This is Parshat HaChodesh. Everyone joining? Remember, Ish Lefi Ochlo Tachot Salaseh? Vehichu Selebet Avot Selebayit? Join in, everyone has said to join in a meal and share a Korban Pesach together. And then it says, Amatot Lemem Yochloa. What are we quoting? We're saying, this matzah that we're eating tonight is the very same matzah that who ate? That our forefathers, Egypt, ate it when? At the very first day. What are we doing? We're continuing. Because what did Parsha HaKodesh say? Parsha HaKodesh said, that generation ate matzah with the Korban Pesach to remember whatever reason. That's a whole long story. And then what? How does that continue? God says, "Vayah hayom azeh lechem lezikaron." Remember this day. What we're doing, we're continuing what our forefathers did. We're sitting down to tell the story. We're continuing a tradition of thousands of years. We're quoting our forefathers, but they ate at the very first. We're quoting the very first Seder, and that's how we're connecting ourselves to our past. But that's just a little word. For our share, it's not the story, isn't it? I mean, it's a beautiful introduction. We're connecting ourselves to our past, but it's not the story. Manishtana. How many questions? No, does that show the real answer? No. It's so simple. There's one question. There's one question and four proofs. The third question is one. Okay? Everything is four, but there's four. It's one. What's the question? The kid is smarter than his parents. What's the kid telling his parents? You're trying to get my attention, aren't you? What's the proof you're trying to get my attention? You're changing this, you're changing that, you're changing that. We never explain to him how come we're dipping, and how come we're leaning, and how come we're eating matzah, do we? What do we explain to him? Why this night is different. How does he know this night is different? Because we're trying to get his attention. Isn't it? They're not questions, they're proof. The kid's asking, what's going on here? Why are you trying to get my attention? What's the proof you're trying to get my attention? You're playing games with me. You follow? What's the answer to that one question? What do we answer him? Is that the story? Read it. What do we tell our child? He wants to know, how come this time is special? Why are we making this all special? Why is the house all different? What's going on? Okay. Tell me if this is the story. We tell our child we were once slaves to Paro in Egypt. Okay. And God took us out with an outstretched hand. And if God didn't take us out, we'd still be slaves. Is that a story? What is that? That's explaining why this night is special. And it's explaining why we have to tell the story. Why do we have to tell the story? We have to thank God for this. We're saying if it wasn't for this story, we'd still be slaves. That's expression of gratitude, isn't it? Because for a child, that's how you have to begin. With a child, you can't begin with recognition that he won't appreciate that. Level number one, expression of gratitude. This is a story that's meaningful to you. Why? If it wasn't for the story, you'd still be a slave. But it's not the story. It simply explains to the child why the story is important. Then we continue. What do we say? If we're all wise, we're all bright, we're all elderly, and we know the entire Torah, we're still commanded to tell the story. The more you tell, the better. Is that a story? What's that explaining? Not why, but even. What do you mean by who? Why would I think that someone who knows the story wouldn't have to tell it? What pasuk did we learn everything from? Where did we thought we learned everything from? The God said, "Levincha." I might think this is a mitzvah for when there's children around. If the people don't know the story, we tell it. If people know the story, write the Shulchan Aruch. We can overwrite it, or we can talk about something else. We can learn, spend our time more wisely. What statement are we making? That this story is not just a commandment to tell children. That even though it all has to go, even though you know the story, you have to tell it, and the more you tell, the better. To prove that, look at paragraph 4. Paragraph 4, we tell the story, don't we? Five big rabbis. Remember all five big rabbis? And what did they do? They were up all night telling the story of the Exodus. What's that prove? The rabbis do that all the time. They make a statement, halakha statement, and they prove it either with a pasuk or with a story. What halakha statement they're making? Everyone is obligated to tell the story, even if you know it. And they prove that with a story. Why? How do we know that these people know it all? What? They're living in Bnei Brak. But also, they happen to be Tanaim. They could now they could learn Mishnah, they could write Mishnah. They could. They're all Tanaim. They know the story. But even these are the top, you know, top tier, and they spent the whole night talking about the story. Right? What do we learn from there? That everyone is chayav. Yeah, we bring a proof. A pasuk wouldn't be enough. Now we need proof. Oh, other rabbis did it. This isn't just for kids. This is for adults as well, which fits much more with recognition of destiny. Now, how about paragraph 5? Remember, 4 comes to proof 3. Okay? Paragraph 5 is we quote Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah in his conversation. It should be Amar Lahem, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, because he's one of the 5. And what's he talk about? About, he said he never understood why we have the mitzvah to mention the story. Not Sipur. You know there's 2 different mitzvot. Once a year there's a mitzvah to tell the story, Sipur. Every day there's a mitzvah to remember the story, Sipur. Are they connected? Big time they're connected, aren't they? Because if I don't tell the story once a year, I have no point of reference to mention it. And therefore it's an ongoing mitzvah. Once a year I tell the story. Now, are we going to quote their entire conversation of that evening with these 5 rabbis? Can we quote the entire conversation? Why can't we? We'd be in big trouble. But we're quoting one of their conversations. Why? That conversation is going to be important because it's going to tell us that this story is not only meaningful tonight, it's meaningful all year long. Why? We'll see it later on. But bottom line, have we started the story yet? No, if we leave the Seder here, we haven't fulfilled any obligation. We got started, but we explained why we're obligated and who's obligated. Section 6. What do we call that? I forgot to give you the summary sheet. Okay. What's that about? Section 6? That's the 4 sons. Okay? How many sons really are there? I'll get just more. No, that doesn't work on that one. But is that the story, the 4 sons, is that the story of the Exodus? What are we explaining? What? How to tell the story. How do we tell the story? What does the Mishnah say? Kedasa ben avim lamdo. There's a beautiful midrash. What's the midrash do? Gives examples of how to tell the story at different levels. It quotes Sukkim from Chumash. It quotes Sukkim from Chumash totally out of context. Gives each question a personality. Makes up a different answer based on the personality of the child. But in a nutshell, it's a beautiful midrash that comes to teach us a lesson in how to tell the story. Following the guidelines of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you're about to tell the story, tell it at the level of the child. But is that the story? No. So what have we done so far? We explained why, how, and why, who, and how. Paragraph 7. Yeah? Remember, Yochav and Rosh Chodesh, you know what that means? I might think what? I might think my obligation to tell the story begins back in Rosh Chodesh. Tamadomar, Bayamahu. Ibayamahu, ta ta ta. Is that the story? What is it? Catching on? You follow? The first hour, most people say this, what haven't we done? An hour, usually it's an hour. And if you have someone coming home from Israel for the year, I mean for the Seder, in big trouble. With a little notebook, we have to stare them down. Okay. Yeah. But if you stop paying attention here, that's it. You didn't fulfill. We go crazy for a chiyuv d'oraita on matzah, on the rabbanim we go. On the chiyuv d'oraita telling this story, we haven't fulfilled it yet. Okay. How about eight? Sounds like the story? This is Rav's opinion in the thing. This is right? Our forefathers were once idol worshippers, and what did God do? God brought us closer for what reason? Not to worship, to serve Him. Oh, no, not to worship, but to serve Him. Our forefathers were once idol worshippers, Terach, etc. And God chose Avram Avinu for what reason? To serve Him. Isn't that exactly recognition of destiny? That's the most important. That's going to kick off the story. You see why? There's a song a lot of people sing. An Avadi Mayinu, don't they? Remember? How's the word go? Avadi Mayinu? And then we, Ayinu. Finish it. Ata Ata. Benechori. Remember that song? Almost everyone sings it. Remember getting stuck when you sing it and you can't find it? Who remembers? Remember? You know why? It's not there. Not only is it not there, it's antithetical to the Haggadah. We're singing exactly the opposite. We were once slaves to Paro, what are we now? Not slaves, we're servants to God. And why did God take us out? Why did God choose Avram Avinu? In order to serve Him. Rashi, Ibn Ezra, isn't it? And Chumash. That's what we call recognition. What I'm trying to show you, that's what Haggadah is about. It's recognition of destiny. It's not only expression of gratitude, it's even more so recognition of destiny. And why is that? What's the meaning of that statement? God chose our forefathers in order to serve them. What's the biggest proof of that? Repent of Tarim. That explains why did God tell Avram Avinu when he was chosen, you have to go down to Egypt and I have to take you out? The reason is simple, because after we go out of Egypt, we go come to our Sinai. How do we become a nation serving God? First we go through basic training. Moshe Rabbeinu's favorite burn calls it Kol HaBarzel. Remember that statement? It's like an iron furnace to make the metal stronger. But when God chose Avram Avinu and told him, in order to become that nation, you have to go through slavery first and affliction to come out. We come out of Egypt, we get the Torah, and there's lots of laws in the Torah that have this little phrase that follows it. What's that phrase that follows tons of laws? Especially laws about being kind. Be kind to the stranger, what did it say? You remember, you were once strangers in Egypt. Right? And then he says, don't oppress a stranger. And then, and you know, you went through that experience. You've been sensitized. You should be sensitized now. Don't you dare do that to somebody else. That's a big message of Jewish education. If you've been so victimized, if something bad happened to you, do you take that experience and throw it back on somebody else? Or do you learn from that experience and become a better person because of it? Do we take our past and learn from it, or do we take our past and take advantage of it? You follow? And we ask ourselves, why did God put us through that affliction? So when we become a nation, we won't act like Egyptians. We'll be a model nation, showing other nations the type of behavior God expects from all mankind. What? That's God's problem. God put us through this in order to learn. Remember, he says, remember you were slaves in Egypt. Even Shabbat and the Dibrot and Dvarim, what does it say? Why do we have to rest on Shabbat? So that our workers can rest. L'man yanuach. And then, remember you were a slave in Egypt. Shavuot, right? We celebrate with God our harvest. What's Sefer Dvarim say? Share your harvest with the Geri Yotom and Amana, with the Levi. Geri Yotom and Amana. The people who don't have land, who don't have their own harvest. And it says, remember you were a slave in Egypt. I think it's over 30 times in Chumash. The answer seems simple, meaning, why did God put us through that experience? First of all, to appreciate God. And to show His greatness, etc. So we'd be indebted to Him. But in addition to that, also to be sensitized. And that's why there's so many laws in Chumash, how to treat a slave. Right after the Ten Commandments, Eved Iver. And V'ger lo toneh v'lo techat. And in Sefer Dvarim, it's a recurring theme, cover to cover. Remember? I think we have some examples later on. Okay, now. Page 15 on the and the source sheet on the Dvarim share. So that's the idea here of why we're quoting that opening statement. It's not the story yet, but it's a mission statement. God chose us in order to serve Him, not to become free. It's a holiday of servitude. We're free to serve Him. And then we continue that by quoting God's promise to bring Ben Abtarim. Now, if you want to do something funny at your Seder, we quote here from Sefer Yeshua, which only proves the first statement, that we were once idol worshippers. How do we know that God chose us to serve Him? Read Yeshua Chavdalah for homework. Oh, it's not on the page. Oh, it's on the page even. Okay. Yeah, look on the page. I'm sorry. Look in D. We're not going to have time to do it probably, but you can do it for homework. Look what we quote from Yeshua. I just quoted a couple of them. I'll just summarize it for you in a nutshell. Instead for Yeshua, after we conquer the land, Yeshua gathers the people in Shem and makes a deal. Says, listen, everybody, we just conquer the whole land. Now, if you want, you have a choice. Says, your forefathers were living here in the Middle East, and they worship these other gods. The people kind of have other gods. If you want, go worship those gods. And me and my family, Yeshua says, we worship God. Or now do you want to worship the God of Zechariah of Egypt? Make your choice. Is that permitted? How could Yeshua do such a thing? No one ever reads this story. It's amazing. Yeah. How come, why doesn't it make sense that Yeshua could offer such an option? We said Naseh V'Nishma. But if you remember, when we said Naseh V'Nishma the first time, what was the problem with it? We had a gun to our head, but Chazal called Kafim Harkin Kigit. After we capture the land, we have our own supply of water now, we have our own supply of food. We're not stuck in the desert anymore. What did Yeshua do? Now are you going to? The real Kibbutz of Hebrew is Yeshua Chavdala. We'll read it later for homework, but I just highlighted a couple words. The people say, no, we want to worship God. And then Yeshua tells them, but look in Pasuk Tetzayin. Vayanam vayomer chalila lanu miyazov et Hashem levad lavod et other gods. Ki Hashem elokeinu hu ma'aleh otanu v'chulei. Then we say, gam anachnu navod et Hashem. You follow? The people say over and over again, we're going to serve God. Lavod et Hashem, I think it's like 20 times in the parish. Yeah. Okay. I'll explain your question, and the answer is a machshav asher. But in a nutshell, Brit Ben Abtarim sets the framework. Meaning, you're going to go down to Egypt, right? And you'll be enslaved. And that you didn't say even Egypt. What's God tell Abraham Avinu? Your children are going to be migrants in someone else's land. Where that land is going to be, will be Mesopotamia, will be Egypt, Turkey, we don't know. Okay. Who's going to enslave them? Which pharaoh? Which tyrant? We don't know. The Rambam brings up in Hilchot Teshuva, in Perek Vav. And he asks the question, why is God punishing pharaoh? What did he do wrong? He was following the process. How can God have the problem? Listen, it says, Rabdu Vinu Otam, I just did what you told me to do. Okay. Rambam says, Chumash, in Chumash, God's not telling Avraham what will happen. He's telling what's bound to happen. It's because we have Rosh Hashanah. What's he saying? It's bound that he said, just like you can say in a classroom, there's going to be good people, there'll be tzaddikim and rishonim. Any rabbi in a shul knows. There'll be troublemaker people like the rabbi, people hate the rabbi. Who's going to be what? We don't know. But who knows will be those who know. See, that's human nature. If you have a migrant population living in someone else's land, they're going to be oppressed. That's min hagar sho'olam. Since time of memorial, God's not happy with that. God wants mankind to improve in that behavior, and we're supposed to be a model nation of that. But God's saying, once the land I'm giving you, it's not yours right away. Once I'm telling you, you don't become a nation for several hundred years, which means you don't have a homeland, you're not going to become a nation until you go through this basic training. Where it's going to play itself out, right? History will take its course. It's bound to happen. Whoever does it has total b'chirah chofshi. Understand? Also, Am Yisrael, the Sforo explains, our affliction didn't have to be so bad. Read the Sforo on the first parak in Sefer Shmos. He says the affliction didn't have to be so bad. Because why was it so bad? It's because we were so bad. He quotes the Mecheskel, we were the 49th level of Tumah. He says, the Avodat Parah was not part of Ben Abtarim. He said, throwing the babies in the river wasn't part of that. It didn't have to be so bad. It could have been like, God had to intensify the affliction because we weren't ready for redemption. We had to go through more difficult training because we weren't ready on the other side. And some parts, Other, the Ramban says, as far as the Egyptians go, they also overdid. God said, afflicted, they were machmer. That's why Avraham Avinu says, if you were machmer and Bavdu Avinu Otam, right? I want you machmer, now I want Rafish Gadol. That's why he goes out of his way to make sure we get all the money from him. But that question is a philosophical question. But how we end up going down to Egypt, what that doesn't mean that the brothers did the right thing. But what does Yosef tell them at the end of the story? You thought that. God was part of it. Remember, we do the same thing in the drasha. Remember Anu Sapi Adibor. Why did we go down to Egypt? Remember we say Anu Sapi Adibor? What's that referring to? God telling Yaakov, go down and don't come back until I bring you back. Basically, you're going down to Fatorbi Ben Abtarin. How it played itself out, God set the framework. How it plays itself out, that it's like the example I can give is when you put your child in college. They went to college. Parents put their children through college. Don't they say that? What's that mean? It means you pay they set a framework. What college you're going to go to, they pay your tuition, your meal card, the whole thing, all that stuff. But who has to take the courses? Not the parents, the children. The parents set a framework, and that's what most of the world are. God, the Chalagoy Gadol is a challenge, not a prediction. When God tells Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, that's not a promise, and it's a challenge. It's a framework that God's setting up. Here's a land for you to develop. Here's a nation that wants to develop. Your goal, if it's going to work, that's up to you. The covenant's eternal. If it's going to be successful, that's up to us. If God sets a framework, and we have to play it out. How we play it out, there's a whole range of actions. Now back to Maggid. Therefore, paragraph 8 explains why it's about how God is about we were chosen to serve God. Paragraph 9, we thank God for keeping His promise to put us in Egypt to take us out of Egypt. We're thanking God for both. We're putting us in to take us out. And then we're saying in 10, and we drink to it, right, that promise was not a one-time get out of jail card. It was an eternal, it wasn't a one-time respect, one-time I'll save you. It was an eternal covenant throughout history. We're consistently, if we don't follow God properly, He'll punish us. But God will always come and save us. For what reason? If He needs to serve us. After all that, after an hour and a half, after no one's paying attention anymore, we finally get to Maggid. And now we fulfill the mission of what says Aramea Vedavit. Now, why do we pick that? Here, on the back, I'll just summarize. It's the source is in Sefer Dvarim. Later you can look at the Pesukim in Yeshua. Where the people, what we quote from Yeshua in paragraph 8, the continuation of that paragraph is all about that Am Yisrael took upon itself with free will to serve God. It's exactly Mashab Kibana Makam Lavra. So when Chazal quotes the pasuk, they assume the reader knows Yeshua Chavdalit. Nowadays, most of you have no idea that it exists. But read the paragraph, it's fun if you want to do it as a Seder, highlight it, etc., you can do it on your own. If you want to do something else fun as a Seder, it's on project. He's in Coupe. Want to learn it. I was thinking of doing that sure, but Kivim Kupay, it's the first Haggadah. It's David HaMelech Haggadah. And Tehillim? Kivim Kupay, Psalm 105. Okay. That's an example. We say it every morning, the first part we say every morning in Davin. Kodul Hashem, Kiru Vishmol, Yivam, Mimma, Lilithal. And we say, Zachar, says Zachar, Lo Lamri Tov. We thank God for keeping His covenant. He's referring to Brit Ben Abtarim. And we have a whole story of how God kept His covenant from the time He chose Avraham Avinu until we get the land of Israel. Just look at that, just give a hint. You know, keep yourself busy. It's a lot of fun. And compared to Kufav, it's a lot. The Makot, all this, the Makot are all there. Seven of them, eight of them are there. Have the kids find them, they can do something different for a change. Be careful though, because that was the Haggadah, the Karaites used. I mean, the Habamina, it makes sense. Why Chazal picked Aramea Vedavi? It's because they wanted to do the drasho, they had the drasho about that. But David HaMelech wrote a good one. Now, I'm not saying replace their Haggadah, but appreciate what David HaMelech wrote. Now, back to Mikra Bikurim. What did Chazal pick? It's in the sacred brand, there's a mitzvah. That once a year, every Jew has to come and bring his first fruit, we call that Bikurim. And if we learn sacred brand, it's not just a mitzvah, it's the end of a whole speech that began in 22 chapters of laws, it's the end of the speech of laws that make us a nation representing God in the land of Israel. At the time the laws about remember you were slaves in Egypt, you have to be kind in just over and over again, this idea of setting up a society that'll represent God in our moral and ethical behavior. If we were bringing first fruits of the Kareem only to thank God for our first fruits, what should we say? Thank you for the land and for our fruit. We don't do that, though. Once a year, we don't have to thank God for our fruit. Once a year, we have to make a proclamation thanking God for fulfilling Ben Abtarim. And therefore, how do we begin our proclamation? You go through all the things of Ben Abtarim, and as a token of our appreciation, we bring our first fruit. Understand the difference? We're not coming to feed God. We're coming to make a proclamation, but you don't come empty-handed. You bring something meaningful. Flowers, chocolate, and so on. We bring our first fruit because it's meaningful. But the main thing we're doing, we're making a proclamation of how God fulfilled, recognizing why God gave us the land. We're saying our forefathers were without a homeland. And we have an Ezra explained. Our Ramiya Ben Avi talked about Abram and Yaakov. Our forefathers were wandering. There's a beautiful drasha we say, Slavon. Either way, it works nicely. But our forefathers didn't have a homeland, and now we do. But why do we have one? And look at the end of it. See the end of Mikra Bikurim? God brought us to this place in Pasuk Tet. And now I'm bringing my first fruits as a sign of my appreciation. It's mine to give you when you put it in front of God. Listen to Yud Aleph. Rejoice with all the good that God gave you. How do you rejoice? See that theme? It's all through David's mind. The need, the sense of society, we're always constantly worried about the downtrodden. Now, again, the most important part of Magi, if you want to fulfill your biblical obligation, you're right, is according to the Mishnah's Arami Avedavi. But the Mishnah didn't say just to say it, the Mishnah says to Darshan. Darshan, it means? Darshan. How you Darshan is up to you. So we have a Nusach, for hundreds of years, of this is Nusach we use for Arami Avedavi. But the Mishnah says you should do it in a language and in a way that's fitting, that people should understand it. But it's this section you should pay the most attention to. From my experience, most Seder, this section is the least paid attention to. And we're talking about, again, a few of you like that. Well, here, if you say this way, this is the most important, call people back in. No, this is the time to do it properly. How to do it, how to tell the story, but this is the main way. Some people say, if you say, Rabbi Gamliel, you fulfill your obligation as well. That's like a minimal, it's like eating a kazayis the size of an olive. after we tell the story, we end up with the Makot. We have the Kim Shem B'Yachatakab, we go to Zuya, Avotod Mosi, 8:22, we get to 10, and we start dipping our finger. Remember the whole thing? And then we get multiplication tables. Remember, there were 10 Makot, but the Makot was an Etzba, and Kriyat Yam Tov was the Yad Hashem, and then we have 5 to 1, and we end up with 250 Makot. Remember? Another drasha. But that's where we end the story. If you were Zionist, where would you end the story? Where? When you come to the land of Israel. What do? We stop coming out of Israel. We don't get to Har Sinai, do we? But we do it in a backhanded way. You know Dayenu? What's Dayenu do? Dayenu, you're thanking God for... Dayenu, doesn't mean Dayenu. Dayenu doesn't mean... it would be enough. You can't say it would be enough if we didn't get Shabbat, if we didn't get the Torah, etc. It would be enough to say thank you. It's real simple. We're saying it would be enough to say thank you and Hallel if you only took us out of Egypt, if you only gave us the money, if you only gave us Shabbat, if you only got us close to us, Then we say even more so we have to say thank you, Allah Chabab Kama, because you did all 15 things. But we're qualifying our praise. Now, as we do that in a backhanded way, beautifully, what are we doing? We're continuing the story from coming out of Egypt, Kriyat Yam Suf, the Man, Shabbat, the Torah, okay? And the land of Israel, and the Beit HaMikdash, which is exactly Mikra Bikurim. You follow? So Dayenu is both Hallel and also Sipur, in a beautiful way. And then we bring on Gamliel, and then we finish the Seder. Now, in conclusion, go back to the Sukkim from, remember the wise son's question? Go back to Source C in Devarim Terekvav. Remember, the Haggadah quotes this question totally out of context. It says it's a question about Pesach. If you look at Sefer Dvarim, it's a question about the entire Torah. Yishalcha bincha machar lemor ma'ayim v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tivah Hashem Elokeinu etchem. That's not a question about Pesach, it's not a question about Pesach. It's page 3, in the middle. In source C. Should the children ask you, what doesn't mean what here? What's it mean? If my mitzvah, what the answer should be? Laws. We'll see the answer in a minute. Maya doesn't mean what it means. What's for or why? Look at the answer we give. So your children ask you, why do I keep these laws? What answer do we give them? Is the answer Rashi or Ramban or Rashban? What do you tell your children? We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out with an outstretched hand. But that's not the whole answer, is it? God gave a totem of theme to Mitzrayim. Look at Pasuk Gimel. Voltanu hotzi misham. Why did God take us out? Understand? What do we explain to our children? Why did God take us out of Egypt? To give us the land of Israel, to give them mitzvot. Isn't that Rashi again? I told you, Rashi is pshat in Chumash, not pshat in Sefer Shmot. Rashbam is pshat in Shmot, Rashi is pshat in Chumash. Now, all these things we quote in Haggadah, don't we? We take the question, we put it in the Chacham. Avadim Ayinu, we used to answer the Manishtana, which is really the answer. Okay? And when do we quote Pasuk Chav Gimel? When do we quote Vatano Otsim Yisham? Look in paragraph 16 and we'll conclude with that. Look at paragraph 16. The whole door of the door, Chayav Adam Yerushat Moki Ilu Hu Yatsa Mimitzrayim. Ever remember that? Why? Is that expression of gratitude or recognition of destiny? If the whole reason we went through Egypt was to sensitize us as a nation, experience both to be indebted to God, but also to experience that suffering, to be sensitized, not to do that to others, but to be kind to others, then why would it be important to feel like you went through that? The Seder is a time to be sensitized. What's the proof? Shenemar. Usually Shenemar, people stop thinking. We go to Sukkot, the Zimmerman. Shenemar, start thinking. Where are they quoting from? Take a look, in 16. Okay? Shenemar, Shelo ata batenu gamotanu ga'al. We were also, everyone was there. Why? Shenemar, Votanu hotzi misham, Lamana viotanu v'tet lanu. That's exactly, God took us out of Egypt, why? To serve us. That's exactly why does every generation have to tell this story and feel like they went through it? To remember not what happened, but why it happened. Again, to be sensitive, I'm trying to show you from the beginning to the end of Haggadah, that's the underlying theme. We usually only understand this expression of gratitude, which is important, but I think between the lines and the deeper sense, the adult level of Haggadah, it's much more about recognition of destiny. And the idea, we tell the story to remember what type of nation we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to act, how we represent God as a nation. The theme, and that sense is so important. We don't only tell the story once a year, we mention it every day. Now, I'll end with the Ibn Ezra. How do we fulfill the obligation to mention it every day? What do we say? The last part of Shema, you know what I heard? Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Hoteiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim. Finish it. No, Lachal Olay. Is that the answer like that? Ibn Ezra quoted it. Yeah, when it's Pirusha. Why did God take us out of Egypt? I'm the God that took you out of Egypt. Why? To be your God. God took us out to serve Him. That's what the Seder is about. It's much deeper. It's not what happened, but why happened. In that sense, the Seder is much more, I think it's much deeper. It's not only for children, it's even more so for adults. And that's how we tell the story in a beautiful way. But again, if you go back, see the bigger picture of Haggadah and see where it's coming from in Chumash, it goes back to the big thing. We're over time. So we'll stop there.